because I am going to the Father. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. In my name you ask me for anything, I will do it. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, because he abides with you, and he will be in you. I have said these things to you while I am still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. This is the Gospel of the Lord.
As the congregation is seated, I invite my young friends forward for a children's sermon with Pastor Carter.
Dove. And the other ways we remember it is by the wind that we heard about in the lesson today, and by fire. And you know what my daughter and I did Friday night? We made these wands. Because where did the Holy Spirit go? It went everywhere, didn't it? And it is inside of who? Everyone. The Holy Spirit is inside of everyone. And Anna and I made these wands. And if you hold it up to the light, look at it. It looks like fire, doesn't it? And it is your reminder that the Holy Spirit is with you always. Now, I'm going to need two helpers. Okay? That one and that one. Would you share this with the baby right there? And then would you share that with Casper? Is the Holy Spirit with Casper? Is it yes? The Holy Spirit is in Casper and in the baby. Go ahead and share it with the baby. And then you all get a wand. And what does this help you remember? The Holy Spirit is with you always. Yes. Hold it up to the light. It's like a fire. Let's see if we can pray.
Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. A few months ago in confirmation class, these eighth graders, along with their peers in sixth and seventh grade, started a unit on the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit at work in our lives. And so, as an opening exercise for that evening, each of the students was to take a single small sheet of paper out of a basket that was being passed around. Thanks to some valiant efforts with the help of Google Translate, each of those confirmands would then take out a sheet of paper only to discover that they had no idea what it said. Maybe someone was lucky and got the one in Spanish that they might have heard or could transliterate from the Portuguese, but when it came time to the words in Chinese or Laotian or Persian or Arabic, they didn't know what to say. And so each tried to read theirs the best they could, just one simple phrase. And as we made our way around hearing the tongues of different languages and struggling with those, we were relieved when we got to the end of this exercise and heard what it meant. That simple phrase that was hard to pronounce in the tongues of this world was simply, Jesus loves you. But when you don't know what it says, And when you don't know the language before you, that's an awfully daunting task to share. I can't imagine what that experience would have been like 2,000 years ago for God's faithful people that were gathered together in this locked room. Here they had all gathered because it was the festival of Shavuot, the festival of weeks, a Jewish tradition where 50 days after the Passover, they gathered to celebrate the receiving of the Torah, the receiving of God's word in the first five books of Scripture. But they knew that something was different because these last 50 days had been like none other before. They spent 40 with their risen Lord in a variety of post-resurrection appearances where he came and had breakfast with them and talked with them and eased their doubt and proclaimed to them words of promise that only a risen Lord could bring. And then 10 days before this day, they were with their Lord the last time when he did exactly as he said he would. And right before them, ascended into heaven. And so now, these disciples, they waited and they wondered what was next. And what would they be called on to do? Where would they find guidance? The idea that the rush of a Holy Spirit would come thundering into that room and with tongues of fire, each of them given a tongue that they had never spoken before, and the languages spoken throughout that region of the world certainly got their attention. No one that day was expecting to speak the words of the Parthians or the Medes or the Elamites. That whole list, all the way down to Cretans and Arabs, each in their own language, and each being able to understand what they were saying. Imagine that, drawing out a sheet of paper out of the basket and being able to know word for word what it meant and how to communicate with the people of that part of the world. The Pentecost Spirit was present that day to help the word of God spread beyond the original crowd who had followed Jesus and seen and heard it firsthand, and carried in throughout all of the world, each in languages that the people that they would encounter would know as their own and be able to trust in hearing the word of God proclaimed to them. The idea that these disciples, who spoke no other tongues but their own, would now be equipped with a way to go out and proclaim God's love to people of all the world was far beyond imagination for anyone. Yet that's what God does. That's what God sends the Holy Spirit into the world to do, to teach us to communicate and to give us the power and the confidence to proclaim God's love to everyone whom we encounter. What a perfect day to hear this text as we celebrate not only the church's birthday, but so many milestones in the life of faith. The gift of Emerson's welcome into a life of faith at the font in holy baptism. The gift of seven of our confirmants here today and others from afar who will gather together to proclaim and confirm for themselves that yes, we believe all that our parents have taught us. The gift of a pastor who has spent 50 years proclaiming God's word. And the milestones that each of us share in as well as we walk in this journey of faith and strive to share God's love with all whom we encounter. Now, I don't see any tongues of fire literally above us today. There may have been rushing winds with the rains we've experienced these last few days, but in this moment, there is peaceness. It is still. But the question we ask, the question that God calls us to ponder, is what language will you speak in this world? What tongue will you deliver and share with others that will help you to communicate God's love with all those who we encounter? Because I have to tell you, the world does not speak church. The world does not know what Pentecost means. The world might not understand what the gift of baptism is all about. The world might look at these words of liturgy and depth that we use each week and have no idea what we're saying. These are our friends and neighbors and coworkers, those we gather with each day who don't speak church. And so if we expect to go out into the world and to speak church, How will we ever communicate with them? The challenge of the Pentecost day is that we find a way to receive the same gift that the disciples were given almost 2,000 years ago today. And even though we don't have the beautiful fire on our tongues, we are still given a Holy Spirit, the one whom Jesus talks about with his disciples, an advocate who will teach us and guide us in how to communicate in the world. And so what does that mean when we are talking to those whom we encounter every day? What does that mean when we're called to communicate God's love in a way that isn't using church words, in a way that isn't using phrases that no one can understand? I remember being given a seminary assignment once where we had to explain this exact task and be reminded that we couldn't use a single word of church language to describe the concept of justification by faith through grace. How many of you did I lose just right there by starting to rattle off all these Luther words? And yet even us, those who are here in each week in worship, still say, oh, what does that mean? How do we share it with the world around us? And I remember one of my friends being able to say something so profound in the midst of a difficult time in his life. His wife was struggling with cancer. And every day he'd be asked, how are you all doing? And he'd say, we're hanging in there. But the way he proclaimed God's love, the way that he communicated with the world, was when he discovered that that was the language he could use to explain all of these deep theological concepts which we as Lutherans abide by. And the next time when he was asked, how are you doing? He didn't say, oh, we're hanging in there. He said, we're being held onto. We're being held onto. Friends, we have a loving God who holds on to us, who promises us peace as Jesus promised his disciples in a world where it just doesn't seem to make sense, in a world that is divided, in a world where our words bounce off one another in pain and agony, in a world where our actions often hurt those of neighbors and those we've never met. Christ still promises us peace. We are called to communicate it. As I look at these seven individuals who in a moment will stand up and affirm their baptisms in the experience of confirmation, I am convinced that they know the language that God is calling them to speak in the world. One of the beautiful exercises that we do with eighth graders right before they're confirmed, a tradition that was started by Pastor Wren and continue today, but they tell me now it's easier, was to gather the student and a parent and the pastor in an office and talk about this whole experience and how God was at work in them. And then the last thing that we did in our time together was encourage these young men and women to help together pick their confirmation verse, the words that they will have proclaimed as they walk forward this morning to receive their confirmation. And once all of them had come together and we got all of the verses on one sheet of paper, as I looked through them, I saw a key theme that resonated throughout all of their passages. It was rooted in a trust in God. That each of these phrases that they chose recognized that when we trust in God and we recognize that we're being held onto, then we can go out and speak the languages of the world knowing that God is with us. Listen as those verses are read today, as we hear all of these beautiful ways that these eighth graders, now becoming adults in their faith, recognize that God is holding on to them, and that we can indeed trust in the Lord our God. And then as we ponder what language we will speak, we recognize that we might not be speaking anything from the other side of the world anytime soon. That maybe you don't even know where Judea and Cappadocia are and would never imagine speaking Phrygia or Pamphylia to anyone, much less pronounce them right. But in the midst of all of that, God does equip you. God sends upon you an advocate to speak whom those you encounter each day. And it may not even be with your words. It might be with your actions and your love. It may be that when you speak to someone who is dealing with dementia or Alzheimer's, that the words that you say don't matter just as much as you're listening to the same thing that Dave told you before, but they know that someone hears them. It's the words that you say to someone who might not feel like they're loved by anyone and in a dark place in their lives, and your words shine light just simply by being present. It's words that are spoken from a parent to a child, or later in life from a child to a parent, when stern words that one doesn't want to hear are truly words of love. It is words that we speak when we promise that no matter who we are, that no matter how we identify ourselves in life, no matter what we struggle with the labels that the world puts upon us, we are first and foremost children of God and loved, and nothing can take that away. These are the words in which we speak truth. When we communicate with people beyond words of theology and liturgy, but rather in the words of love that we give in our daily lives. So I'm not surprised that these young men and women have chosen words of trust, because they know a God who loves them. It's been modeled in the relationships that they have with their parents, with this church, with the men and women who have served as their partners walking in faith through this confirmation process, with Pastor Carter and I as their pastors along the journey, with each one of those who gathers with them in youth, with the whole church, with you, simply by being around them and promising them that God is with them. And so today, as we wonder what language we will speak, we trust in God that just as the disciples were given the words that they could speak and could do so confidently, that fed by the power of the Holy Spirit, we too may be confident to go out and proclaim words and actions of love to all whom we encounter, and that indeed we might let the fire shine in us to share God's light with all the world. Thanks be to God. Amen.